and I'm aware that my voice sounds oddly high and squeaky as the words "Vodka on the Rocks" come out. All I know for sure about this gathering is that a friend called me on Saturday night and, after asking me what I was doing on Monday, instructed me in his noticeably French accent that, "Tony, you must come. It will be very special." Since leaving all day-to-day responsibilities at my old restaurant Layal and having had to learn or relearn after a couple of book tours and many travels how to deal once again with civilian society, I now own a couple of suits. I'm wearing one now, dressed appropriately, I think, for a restaurant of this one's high reputation. The collar on my shirt is too tight, and it's digging into my neck. The knot on my tie, I'm painfully aware, is less than perfect. When I arrived at the appointed hour of 11 p.m., the dining room was thinning of customers, and I was discreetly ushered here to the small, dimly lit bar and waiting area. I was relieved that upon laying eyes on me, the maitre d' did not wrinkle his nose in distaste. I'm thrilled to see X, a usually unflappable figure whom I generally speak of in the same hushed, respectful tones as the Dalai Lama, a man who ordinarily seems to vibrate on a lower frequency than other more earthbound chefs. I'm surprised to see that he's nearly as excited as I am, an unmistakable look of apprehension on his face. Around him are some of the second and third waves of old guard French guys, some young Turks, along with a few American chefs who came up in their kitchens. There's the godmother of the French chef mafia. It's a fucking who's who of the top tier of cooking in America today. If a gas leak blew up this building, fine dining as we know it would be nearly wiped out in one stroke. Ming Tsai would be the guest judge on every episode of Top Chef, and Bobby Flay and Mario Batali would be left to carve up Vegas between themselves. A few last well-fed citizens wander past on their way from the dining room to the street. More than one couple does a double take at the lineup of familiar faces murmuring conspiratorially at the bar. The large double doors to a private banquet room swing open, and we are summoned. There's a long table, set for 13 people, in the middle of the room. Against the wall is a sideboard, absolutely groaning under the weight of charcuterie, the likes of which few of us, even in this group, have seen in decades. Classic Carrémara terrines of wild game, galantines of various birds, pâté and rillette. The centerpiece is a wild boar pâté en croûte, the narrow area between forcemeat and crust filled with clear, amber-tinted aspic. Waiters are pouring wine. We help ourselves. One by one, we take our seats. A door at the far end of the room opens, and we're joined by our host. It's like that scene in The Godfather, where Marlon Brando welcomes the representatives of the five families. I almost expect our host to begin with, "I'd like to thank our friends the Tatalias and our friends from Brooklyn." It's a veritable Appalachian conference. By now, word of what we're about to eat is getting around the table, ratcheting up the level of excitement. There's a welcome and a thank you to the person who procured what we're about to eat and successfully smuggled it into the country. There is a course of ravioli and consommé, quite wonderful, and a civet of wild hare. But these go by in a blur. Our dirty plates are removed. The uniformed waiters, struggling to conceal their smiles, reset our places. Our host rises, and a guéridon is rolled out bearing 13 cast-iron cocottes. Inside each, a tiny, still-sizzling, roasted bird. Head, beak, and feet still attached, guts intact inside its plump little belly. All of us lean forward, heads turned in the same direction as our host high pours from a bottle of Armagnac, dousing the birds, then ignites them. This is it. The grand slam of rare and forbidden meals. If this assemblage of notable chefs is not reason enough to pinch myself, then this surely is. This is a once-in-a-fucking-lifetime meal, a never-in-a-lifetime meal for most mortals, even in France. What we're about to eat is illegal there, as it's illegal here. Ortolan. The ortolan, or Emberiza ortolana, is a finch-like bird native to Europe and parts of Asia. In France, where they come from, these little birdies can cost upward of $250 a pop on the black market. It is a protected species due to the diminishing number of its nesting places and its shrinking habitat, which makes it illegal to trap or to sell anywhere. It is also a classic of country French cuisine, a delight enjoyed in all likelihood since Roman times. Rather notoriously, French President François Mitterrand, on his deathbed, chose to eat ortolan as his putative last meal, and a written account of this event remains one of the most lushly descriptive works of food.